There she lay. So many dreams she had when she was in college here. And I remember the day they came and said, "Brother Hiles, what do you think we ought to do to find out the trouble?" And I remembered as I looked at her body, paralyzed now from the waist down. Can you imagine it? Young married ladies, can you imagine it? With all of her dreams shattered. I said, "Sharon," I said, "how's it going?" And Sharon said, "Brother Hiles, I can't play the piano anymore." She said, I can't walk anymore. She said, "Brother Hiles, I can't see anymore." And then she said, "But I can still smile. I can still smile." Now why could she smile? I'll tell you why. Just to live by faith. I mean, that's it. Bishop Lightfoot said, "The whole law given to Moses came in 613 precepts. David, in the 15th Psalm, reduced that to 11 precepts. And Isaiah brought it down to 6, and Micah to 3. But Habakkuk brought it down to 1 when he wrapped the entire message of hope and life for the Christian into 6 little monosyllable words. Thee just shall live by faith. Now these words do not glitter like some words in the Bible do. 6 monosyllable words. Like the ocean, however, they do give indication that there are riches sealed beneath. What other text occurs in the Old Testament and is quoted thrice in the New? "The just shall live by faith," cries the prophet Habakkuk. "The just shall live by faith," cries the apostle to the greatest of the European churches. "The just shall live by faith," cries the apostle Paul to the greatest of the Asiatic churches. "The just shall live by faith," cries the author of Hebrews to the Jewish believers. Now, this little line of 6 monosyllable words, "the just shall live by faith," though it has stumped the theologians who could not explain it completely, every little child understands it realistically. "The just shall live by faith." Now, it doesn't have the glamour of "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me," nor does it have the charisma of "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Nor does it have the dynamics of "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Nor does it have the beauty of "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Nor does it have the militance of "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Nor does it have the loveliness of "I, John, saw the holy city, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Nor does it have the theology of "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." But God seems to wrap all of these truths and all of these verses into one beautiful package, and he says, "The just shall live by faith." Now this morning, everybody in this room, saved or unsaved, that message is for you. To everybody this morning who is without Christ, "The just," I say, "shall live by faith." But now wait a minute. It says the just shall live by faith. Those who are already justified, those whose names are already written in heaven, the just shall continue living by faith, and the just shall live forever by faith. The entire gospel can be wrapped up in one package and a card put on the outside of the package and writes the words, "The just shall live by faith." Now this passage approaches those of you who have never been saved. As this scripture walks up and down the aisles this morning and up and down the pews, it stops to those in this section over here
who do not know you're going to heaven when you die. It stops to those in this section here who've not settled it for sure. You cannot say the old account was settled long ago. You don't know that you're saved. And it keeps on spanning this great crowd of people and stops in this pew and this one and this one and this one and this one and across the balcony to those of you that never have received Christ. I mean, we talk about being born again. You don't know what we're talking about. We talk about being saved. You say, saved from what? Now, this passage stops before you this morning, and it says, the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, the just shall live by faith. Now, Paul has just said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew first, and also the Greek or the Gentile. Now, as if he cannot wait to give the entire plan of salvation. As if he could not wait to say, you must know that you're a sinner and that sinners are lost and sinners are going to hell and Jesus paid the penalty for sinners and you by faith can be saved. As if the apostle was unable to wait that long. He just burst forth. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In the next verse he says, the just shall live by faith. For that is the gospel of Christ. The just shall live by faith. In a capsule. There it is. It doesn't say the just shall live by confession. It doesn't say the just shall live by Eucharist. It doesn't say the just shall live for the sacraments. It doesn't say the just shall live by their good deeds. The just shall live by faith. Listen to it, unsaved one. Listen to it, one with a doubt in your breast about whether you're going to heaven or hell. Listen to it, you who are searching after truth. The just shall live by faith. Martin Luther, you know the story as well as I. Martin Luther wished to obtain an indulgence promised by the Pope. As if the Pope could give anybody an indulgence. Nobody can give an indulgence. Nobody can forgive sin. Nobody can absolve a sin. But he who died for us on the cross of Calvary. And Martin Luther, hoping to get some kind of an indulgence from the Pope, he went to those Pilate staircase, they call it, in Rome. They say that the staircase of Pilate was brought from Jerusalem to Rome, and now it's in the Church of the Lateran there. And they say that those are the very steps that Pilate had. And the Pope had promised some kind of indulgence for those who would climb up those stairs. And so Martin Luther wanted it, and so he got on the stairs. And as he climbed up the stairs on his hands and knees, trying to get some kind of an indulgence, all of a sudden a voice came like thunder and said, the just shall live by faith. And as he would take the next step, that thundering voice again would say, the just shall live by faith. And again he'd take a step on his hands and knees trying to do penance and get some kind of an indulgence. And then that voice would come back, the just shall live by faith. And Martin Luther jumped up off the stairs and said, the just shall live by faith. Let all the baptismal regenerationists be, let God be true, but all the baptismal regenerationists be a liar. Let God be true, and all those that say they can absolve your sins who have not scars in their hands be liars. Let God be true, and the folks that say the sacrament save be liars. Let God be true, and those that say you can be saved by living a good life be liars. The just shall not live by works. The just shall not live by baptism. The just shall not live by ordinance. The just shall not live by turning over a new leaf. The just shall live by faith. But you say, Brother Hiles, don't you have to be good to go to heaven? You couldn't be good if you wanted to be good. The simple truth is the good that you do is bad. The best you do is tainted with selfishness and desire for human praise. But there's only one thing that'll please God, and that is when you look up and say, God, I believe you. I believe you. That's what makes the heart of God jump an extra beat. That's what makes the heart of God respond. That's what makes the hands of God open toward you. When you say, God, I believe you. I believe that I'm a sinner. You said it in the Word, and I believe you. And I believe that I'm going to hell because I'm a sinner. You said it, and I believe you. And I believe that Jesus came and lived and died and rose again and paid the penalty for my sin on the cross. And I believe you, God. I believe you. I believe you. And I believe that if I'll trust you as my Savior, you'll take me to heaven when I die. And I believe you, God. And God says that is the only thing that pleases Him. When you believe Him, when you trust Him, the just shall live by faith. When Martin Luther got off his knees, I'm quoting what he said. He said that scripture, the just shall live by faith, is like passing from the rigors of an Arctic night into the sunshine of a summer day.
It's like passing from a crowded city slum into the fields where daffodils dance and robins sing. It is like entering through an open door into the paradise of God. It is like unveiling the face of God. And Martin Luther said, I felt born again like a new man. And everybody who walks the streets of glory will go there because of faith. The just shall live by faith. And everybody that sees the face of Jesus someday and gazes into the scars of those precious hands, you will do it not because you deserve it. You will do it not because you've done some good deed or good work. You'll do it because you looked to God and believed Him. And by faith you received Him as your Savior. The just shall live by faith. Get off the ladder and steps. The just shall live by faith. Come out of that confessional booth. The just shall live by faith. Run from the Eucharist. The just shall live by faith. Come out of your confirmation trust. The just shall live by faith. You say, you're criticizing my religion. I'm not criticizing anybody's religion unless that one that says you get saved any other way but by faith in Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall have eternal life by faith. That's all you can do to please God. And then that same passage wanders from the unsaved through this audience and stops at the one who's having a tough time. And it parks at Hebrews 10:38, which says the same thing with a different context. It says, the just shall live by faith. Now, to whom is this passage written? This passage is written to those having a tough time. What it's saying is, the just shall struggle on by faith. The just shall keep going by faith. The just shall keep alive by faith. This passage, it stops at a lady's arms whose baby has been taken. Or a mate whose spouse has been taken from her or his side. Or somebody whose health has been taken from their body. Or somebody whose security has been taken from their future. Listen carefully. In Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith points to Calvary. Jesus on Calvary, as He paid the penalty for your sin and mine. And you come to Calvary and trust Him, the just shall obtain eternal life by faith. But Hebrews 10:38 goes different. Hebrews 10:38 is talking about a group of people who had come to obstacles and they'd turned back and hadn't kept on going because obstacles came. And the writer says the just not only shall live in salvation by faith, but the just shall keep on living by faith. And just as Romans 1:17 takes this verse and points it toward Calvary, Hebrews 10:38 takes this verse and points it toward Jesus, our intercessor, our high priest. If you'll check the book of Hebrews, you'll find it points to Jesus, our high priest. Did you know what? Did you know that, and this is not strange to you, but I repeat it. Did you know that while I stand here this morning, the dear Lord Jesus sits on the right hand of God as my lawyer? That's what it means in Romans when it says, we shall be saved by His life. I was saved from sin by looking to Calvary, but I am kept saved by looking to the high priest, my high priest sitting at the right hand of God interceding for me. And this morning when in my message maybe I were to have some unholy motive, God forbid it would happen, but some unholy motive could come inside my mind or my heart. And the Father looks down and says, Hiles has an unholy motive. And the Lord Jesus says, Father, put that on my account. I died for that. And this morning, if I were to do something, maybe I would lose my temper. Of course, I'd never do that. But if I were to lose my temper, and the Lord Jesus would say, Father, I died for that sin too. Thank God. You said, well, the house, you must be a pretty good fellow. No, I'm a rotten sinner like you are. And if I'd have got what I deserved, I'd go to hell, and so would you. Oh, but you say, preacher, I'm not going to get saved like I can deserve it. And you'll burn in hell is what you'll do. You'll never deserve it. The only hope you've got... I'll never forget that day when Dr. Elsie Stewart had been wrongly indicted, I think. And so I heard about it, that indicted for manslaughter. A bunch of people that were stealing gas out of his buses. And so he got to chasing them, and they got in a war with each other. One of them shot the other one, and he got blamed for shooting. And then he had a gun with him, and they got blamed for shooting him. And they indicted for manslaughter. The old country judge down there was trying the case, and the old country lawyer was trying the case. And I called F. Lee Bailey. And I said, I got him on the phone. I just called up to Boston and talked to myself. Hey, Mr. Bailey, it's Jack Hiles. I'm a Baptist preacher, and I got a fellow preacher I want you to defend. You know, he took the case by the telephone. I've never seen F. Lee Bailey, but he took the case. It cost us $22,000. This church paid for it, $22,000. And I read the account of it. I didn't see it. But they said, you never saw such a shocked lawyer in your life. That little country lawyer, little country judge sitting there, you know, spitting and whittling in an old country courtroom. And they didn't know who was going to defend L.C. Stewart. And in walks F. Lee Bailey. That's like a little league seeing Joe DiMaggio come to hit for him, Mickey Mantle, or Reggie Jackson. And in he walks. And F. Lee Bailey lost the case. Yeah. He lost the case. And L.C. Stewart was tried for manslaughter. You ought to see the devil when Jesus comes in, my attorney, pleading my case. Yeah. But he never has lost a case. Never has lost a case. He said, Brother House, you gonna lose your salvation? Not if my lawyer can take care of it. Yeah. Brother House, what are you going to say about it? He told me not to say anything. He told me to let him do all the talking. Yeah. Well, House, when you get to heaven, what you going to plead? I'm not going to plead anything. The lawyer's pleading for me. Well, how secure is your salvation? Depends how good my lawyer is. Yeah. Yeah. And so, the just shall live by faith. That's Romans 1:17. Look to Calvary. Eternal life comes by faith in Calvary. But, continued life. The just shall continue to live by faith. Faith in the high priest who pleads my case. But by the way, we don't say this much, but the high priest is not there just to plead my case. The high priest is there to take care of my needs, too. Sometimes the high priest, Jesus may say to the Father, don't you think old Jack needs a new suit? And I said, tell him yes. Tell him yes. And and the Father said, yes, I think he does. And Jesus says, don't you think old Joe needs a job? Yeah, he sure does. He's there as our advocate pleading our case. And so he says, if you're sad, the just shall live by faith. If you're burdened, the just shall live by faith. If you have a heartache, the just shall live by faith. What it's saying is, cannot he who saved you also care for you? May I say this morning, that young lady in the service, teenage girl, whose home was broken, and I've admired her tremendously, whose dad has reared her, and this week, she learned that her mother died. And though she did not live with her mother, she's still her mother. May I say to her, the just shall live by faith. May I say to those of you this morning who have cancer lurking in your body, and you went to the doctor and had the test made, and the test came back, and the doctor told you have cancer. May I tell you this morning, the just shall live by faith. May I say to my dear mother this morning, the just shall live by faith. May I say to those of you who have a little baby that's been taken to heaven, the just shall live by faith. I never have been so convinced in all my life. I never have been so convinced that salvation is real and that Jesus is real and that God is able, as I am today, the more tears these shoulders catch. Oh, good night. I've tried to plead with some of you folks lately. Don't be mad at each other. I've stood with a dozen people in the last 7 days. Don't be bitter. Don't be hurt. You say, why shouldn't I? I'll tell you why. If God Almighty, the God of the universe, who never spoke a word that was bad, whose hands never took that was evil, whose feet never trod an evil path, the perfect, holy God of gods and King of kings, if God can put up with a dirty sinner like you, you dead sure can put up with each other. Away with all this hurt feelings, and I'm bitter, how are you talking to me? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. God, if God can put up with a dirty sinner like you, in God's name, rejoice and say, I dead sure can put up with my fellow Christian, even though he may disappoint me sometime. Oh, the reality of this thing. I drove by this week a little lot now. Well, some houses built there, but back in the back behind these houses, A little two-room shack where Earlene and Mama and I and Daddy used to live. Well, Daddy came by occasionally. And I drove by that little place on Ann Arbor Street where, when I was a boy, we had a wood stove in one room and a wood cook stove in the other room, an outhouse out in the backyard. And I was always afraid to go to the bathroom because there's no bathe out there, but I was always afraid to go out to the outhouse because it had lizards and snakes in the backyard. And I'll tell you what, I'd run out there as fast as I could, run back as fast as I could, and I remember those days. I remember the peanut butter jars we drank out of, and the jelly jars, and the lids to tin cans we sometimes used for dishes. I remember early in the time that it was a storming, and you got off the bus down there on Frio Drive, and I think it's Frio Drive, and Ramona, and you had to walk a mile through the storm, and it was all country in those days. And I remember Mother standing at the door shouting, God take care of her, oh God take care of her, Lord, and make her home safe, God take care of her, oh God take care of her. I remember that dog, what was his name, that shepherd dog? Pal. That dog would walk with Earlene to the bus stop a mile away and then come back home. And as sure as the afternoon came, that dog would walk up there and meet her at the bus and walk with her back. I remembered so many things. But I remembered how I've seen it happen dozens of times. I've seen my mother set the table. I've seen her put what little dishes we had on the table and what little knives and forks we had. And not one single thing cooking on the wood stove. And not one single bite of food in the house. And I've seen my mother sit down at the table waiting for God to put some food on the plates. I've heard my mother bow her head and say grace when there was not a bite of food in the house to eat. And there were the plates. And I've heard her bow her head and say, Lord, thank you for the food. And I'd look up and wonder what kind of crazy fool I had for a mother. But she'd say, thank you for the food. And then I've time and time again, while we were sitting there with empty plates and mother had said grace, I've heard a knock on the door and gone to the door and somebody had some food for us. Don't you tell me the just can't live by faith. Don't you tell me God can't put you through college. Don't you tell me God can't see you through a recession. I'm so upset at the attitude of God's people. Little recession's coming. Well, let me tell you something, brother. Matthew 6:33 is in the Bible. When recession's in progress, our prosperity is our lot. And the Bible's just as true when there's no few jobs and the interest is high and the jobs are few and the cupboard is barren. There's still a God in heaven. You say, how can I take it through recession? The just shall live by faith. That's how you take it through recession. The just shall live by faith when they come to Christ and God imparts eternal life by faith. But the just can keep on living by faith. God in the mountains that seem to be rivers that seem to be uncrossable. God in the mountains you cannot tunnel through. God specializes in things that seem impossible. He knows a thousand ways to make a way for you. I've been knocking his door down lately. I guess right now, I guess at this moment, in some areas, we need a miracle of God. I need a miracle of God like I've not known it in a long time. And I've been knocking his door down. Oh, God. But you know, funny thing about it. It doesn't matter. I always feel great. I rarely ever get melancholy. I rarely ever get blue, discouraged. You know why? God specializes in things that seem impossible. He knows a thousand ways to make a way for you. Oh, you of little faith. Oh, we're down to $10,000 in our savings. What are we going to do? I'd shout. I'm going to tell you something now. I want you to hear me. We're too wrapped up in riches. We're too wrapped up in bank accounts and houses and cars and furniture and clothes. Too wrapped up in it. Now, hear me carefully. I made God a promise years ago that I was going to keep myself all the rest of my life so I'd have to have him or go under. That's why I don't put any money, stack any money away. That's why I don't want anything. I promised God years ago that if I ever got to a place where I could choose between not having any financial worries and having financial worries, I'd give away all I had to give away, so I'd still have to have God tomorrow morning. I feel sorry. People say, well, you feel nervous around rich folks? No. I feel sorry for them. I mean this. I feel sorry for the person that doesn't have to say, give me this day my daily bread. I feel sorry for us. There's a certain kind of a blessing that comes through leaning upon God and trusting Him. I was complaining to God this week just a little bit. I know Him well enough where I can complain, but not much. And I said, God, is there ever going to come a time when, when I'm going to have enough money in the bank not to have to pray every week? And the Lord seemed to say, you wouldn't enjoy it. And I wouldn't. I wouldn't trade those days of the wood stoves and kerosene lamps. I wouldn't trade them for anything in all the world. And I wouldn't trade the faith that I have today that God's going to see me through and you through. The just, he says, to the unsaved, shall live by faith. And he comes up to those who are having tough knocks and obstacles and says, you can keep on living by faith. And then he comes the third time. And he walks up to those who seem to be nearer heaven than the rest of us. And he says, the just will always live by faith. The one whose eyes are dim this morning, the one whose step is wobbly, whose hair is white, whose ears are quiet, that one who's heard a child say, I'm going to be with Jesus, that one who just finished the test and found them malignant, God says, the just shall live by faith. I've never been as happy about there being a heaven as I am today. I want to hire me a singer to go everywhere I go and just sing what I want to sing. I've heard of a place that's called heaven. It is made for the pure and the free. A haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. I dreamed I searched heaven for you. Search vainly in heaven for you. Friend, won't you prepare to meet me up there? I dreamed I searched heaven for you. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. All week I've been singing. Only believe. Sing it. Only believe, all things are possible. Only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe. My mind's wandered back this week to a lot of our people. I thought a while, Brother John and Madeline, about little Danny Penley, who many years ago now was dying with leukemia over to Chicago Hospital, Billings Hospital. In the wee hours of the morning, they asked little Danny, he said, Danny, you're going to heaven in a little while. The doctor said he won't make it through the night. John said, Danny, is anything you'd want before you go to heaven. Danny said, I want to see my preacher. They called me. I called Brother Charlie Hand. He and I crawled out of bed 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Go over to Billings Hospital, and I picked little Danny up and held him in my arms. He was gone before sunup. I thought about little Leanne Stanley this week a lot. Little Leanne suffered like few people ever suffered. She woke up from a coma. They asked her if she wanted anything, and she said, I'd like to see my preacher. And they said, you can't. He's out of the state. They said, we have a picture of him. They got a picture of the Christian Life magazine that had my picture on the front page. They got a copy of it and put it. And she put her hand on that picture and went back into a coma. And I went to see her, and she was in a coma, but she had her hand resting on my picture. I've been thinking especially this week about Dick and Peggy Wilson. This is the anniversary week during youth conference of their precious son being taken to heaven prematurely. I've been thinking about a lot of you this week and the death of your children, little Huckins boy. Was it Hooper? Little Hooper. Hooker boy who had cancer of the bone, I think it was. A lot of you. I say this morning to those of you who are not saved, only believe. That's it. I say this morning to those of you that are facing tough times, lonely nights and lonely days and bills that seem like they can't be paid, only believe. Only believe. And I say to those of you that wonder when you go to sleep at night if you wake up tomorrow morning, the years have come and gone, and your 70 has been passed for a long time. Only believe. That's all we can do, folks. And that's enough. The just shall live by faith, cried Habakkuk to a group of folks living in doubt. The just shall live by faith, wrote the apostle to the great church in Rome as he was preparing to come and preach to them. The just shall live by faith, he cries again to the great Galatian church and churches. The just shall live by faith. The author of Hebrews writes to a bunch of people facing heartache and burdens. I said to Sharon, can you sing? She looked up through tears with a smile on her face and said, no, Brother Hiles, I can't sing anymore. I can't play the piano. I can't sing. I can't walk. I'm paralyzed in the waist down. But I can still smile. You know where the smiles come from? Sing it. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. That's the answer. That's it. Only believe. What's possible?
All things are possible.
What you got to do to have the impossible?
Only
that's it. If you're here this morning and never have been saved, the just can have eternal life by faith. If you're here this morning and you're having problems and burdens, the just shall keep on living by faith. You're here this morning and you're wondering if tomorrow you'll still be on this earth, afraid eternity is coming so soon. The just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our Heavenly Father.